second place.
We don't have much time,
George said, glancing down the corridor outside the cell.
Dan noticed that he was holding a pistol in one huge hand. It looked like the same gun Dan himself had brought from his office.
Where'd you get that? He pointed at the gun.
George grinned from inside his wildly tangled beard.
Where you left it, behind your bunk. Pops went over the shelter with a detector array that first time you and me went out to meet the trolley, remember? Didn't find any electronic bugs, but we found this.
And you left it there?
Sure. What did we need it for? We're wasting time, Tucker said.
Dan made a decision. He started for the door. Outside, he saw that the corridor was empty.
How long will a man stay out when he's been hit with one of these darts?
George asked as they started down the long, narrow, blank-walled corridor.
Depends on his size, Dan answered, hurrying to keep pace with the big man. 10, 20 minutes, maybe half an hour.
Then we gotta run like hell,
Tucker puffed, already jogging to stay with them.
Here we go.
George scooped up the frail old man and bolted ahead like a football running back. Dan raced after him. A few minutes later, they were in the sublevel where Alphonsus's life support machinery chugged away. George set Tucker down on his feet again, and the sour-faced old man slipped on a pair of dark goggles. He bent over even more than usual, seemingly studying the floor.
Emergency! Blared the overhead speakers. Emergency! A prisoner has escaped from the detention center. He has at least two accomplices. They are armed. Use extreme caution.
Why the fuck are they piping that down here?
George complained.
Nobody here but the maintenance robots.
There might be a few human technicians around, Dan suggested.
Or they're trying to scare us, said Tucker.
Dan shook his head. More likely they just put the announcement on the whole damned comm system. I'll bet it even went out to the tourists up in Yamagata's new hotel.
All right, said Tucker, returning his attention to the floor. Now we sprayed a dye that's only visible in the infrared. Now that's where we walk. Georgie bent the camera supports enough along our path so we can sneak under them and they won't see us.
I have to shoot the two guys at the monitor screens in the detention center, George said somewhat ruefully. One of them was a girl. Cute, too.
Hell, you think Hogface Martha is cute,
Tucker growled. George laughed. They walked slowly along the path that only Tucker could see. Dan wondered how long they had before a maintenance robot crossed their path or a live security team was dispatched to scour the area. I won't be able to fool a robot, he realized. I don't have the current codes. Then they passed the familiar alcove. The metal rungs of a ladder were set into the wall leading up.
Hey, wait, he called to the others.
What?
Let's go up this way, he said.
Are you crazy? Tucker snarled. That's not the way to the outside. That goes up to...
My office, Dan said. Last place they'd think of looking for us.
You are crazy.
Like a fox. Come on. And he started up the ladder.
There are two possibilities, Dan reasoned as he climbed. One, George and the old man are working for Malik and I'm supposed to be shot while trying to escape. Maybe there's a goon squad up at that shelter at the top of the vertical shaft waiting to kill me. It'd be just like Malik to have George and Pops snuffed too, clean up the whole mess and leave no witnesses. Two, the pair of them are really on my side and risking their asses to free me. But there could still be a squad waiting for us at the shelter. If Kate Williams is still running the show around here, she's too smart to let me get away with the same escape route twice. He glanced down in the dimly lit shaft and saw that George was following below him. Probably Tucker's behind him, too small to see behind Georgie's bulk. Sure enough, he heard the old man's voice echoing sourly off the shaft's walls.
This is the dumbest damn thing I've seen since Harry Klein decided he could breathe vacuum.
Grinning, Dan hissed a shh down at him. 27. They came out into the service corridor that ran behind the offices. Dan knew the area by heart and led them, tiptoeing like a trio of naughty schoolboys, to a closet where the janitorial staff kept its equipment. Most of the closet was occupied by a pair of janitors, squat, sturdy robots whose once gleaming metal skins were now scuffed and scratched from wear.
The closet walls were lined with shelves containing cleaning solvents, dust absorbers, and maintenance equipment for the robots. As long as nobody comes in to refill the robots' tanks, we're okay, Dan said as they quietly closed the door. He added silently, and as long as nobody happens to be looking at the monitoring cameras watching the corridor. It was utterly dark with the door shut. Dan heard a dull thud and an ouch from Big George. Watch it, he whispered.
Now you tell me. Thanks a fucking lot. What do we do now?
Tucker hissed. We wait. Anybody got a wristwatch? A brief glimmer of fluorescence.
It's 17:38.
Too early. People will still be in their offices. We sit here and wait. The robots are programmed to go out at 10 p.m. We'll wait till then. Dan hunkered down on what little floor space was available, arms clasped around his knees. He heard Tucker grumbling and George huffing as he strained to squeeze himself into a semi-comfortable spot. In the darkness, Dan pictured Kate Williams working in his office, at his desk. I'd like to bust right in there and grab the traitorous bitch, he seethed to himself. Slap her flat on the double-damned desk and show her who the boss really is. Then he grinned to himself, remembering Tamara's warning that Kate would cut his balls off. Tamara. I wonder where she is. What's she doing now? Kate wouldn't keep her as an assistant. The kid was too loyal to me.
I still think this is crazy, Tucker grumbled, his whispering voice grating angrily. We're sitting ducks here.
They won't expect us to be here, Dan countered. They've probably got goon squads combing the lower levels and searching outside for us. This is the best place to be for now.
For how long? George asked.
Till I get a chance to pop into my office and check the computer files. There's a few things I want to know. Tucker mumbled something too low to understand. Pops, how long will it take you to hack a permanent access for me into Astro's files?
Once we're into them. 10 seconds.
Dan chuckled softly. Nothing wrong with Tucker's self-image. Might as well get some sleep while we're waiting, he said.
Sure, Tucker groused. Let 'em take us while we're snoring.
You're the one who snores, George whispered.
That's right. You never snore, do you? I never heard so goddamn much noise in my life.
Cut the chatter, Dan hissed. He closed his eyes, wondering if he would be able to sleep at all. The two robots lit up abruptly and began to hum, snapping Dan from a deep slumber. The door to the closet swung back, and both the stubby, thick-set machines trundled out into the corridor on nearly noiseless little wheels. The door swung shut again.
"Fucking pile of junk nearly ran over my foot," George muttered.
"It's 2200," Tucker said before Dan could ask the time.
Wordlessly, Dan pushed the door open a crack and squinted up and down the corridor. No one in sight. The monitor camera up near the ceiling more than 20 meters away showed a single baleful red eye. "We'll have to chance it," Dan said to himself. "They can't be watching every monitor screen all the time. Even if they've programmed the system to sound an alarm whenever the cameras see somebody in the corridors, they can't possibly check out everybody. I hope." "George, you wait here," he said. "They're looking for 3 men, not 2. Pops, we're going to walk slowly like a pair of maintenance men. Keep your head down and try to look natural."
"You'd look a hell of a lot more like a janitor without that beard," Tucker muttered.
"Yeah, I know." Beard and all, the two of them stepped out into the corridor and walked to the back door to Dan's office, with the video camera staring at them. Maintenance personnel go into the offices to check that the robots haven't screwed up, Dan told himself. There's nothing unusual enough to alert security. Again, he added, "I hope." Kate had changed the security code on the door's electronic lock, but it took Tucker a scant few seconds to press a palm-sized analyzer against the lock and then tap out the new code, while Dan stood between him and the camera. The lights went on in the office automatically as they stepped in. Dan took in the familiar surroundings with a single glance. His pictures had all been replaced by paintings, mostly impressionists, very high-quality reproductions. Scarlett's got good taste, he admitted to himself. Swiftly, he went to his desk and flicked on the computer. His chair felt odd to him, slightly uncomfortable, as if its shape had subtly changed. He knew that all his old access codes to the company